Ramu Nakira Banachari. Gokujana Balaka Giri Varadari Jaya Rama Rama Gurjami Hari Gokujana Balaka Varadari Yashodana Nanna Praja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Balaram Jaya Balaram Jaya Balaram Jaya
I'll just read it. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, this is kind of an empty Sunday feast here. But
invisible lot of guests.
Invisible guests, yes. So I was inspired in the last couple weeks to speak about a certain subject. I was inspired by a book that I was given, and it was called The Bond of Love, which is a compilation of different recollections of Srila Prabhupada's women disciples, direct disciples, which is really nectarine, and also by Vyasa Puja. Usually I'm in the kitchen cooking for Prabhupada on that day, almost every single year that I can ever remember, and I'm never really able or willing really to come out and speak about Srila Prabhupada, but it's a very special day, and I thought I would talk a little bit about the spiritual master, glorified Prabhupada, and the spiritual master in general, and also our relationship with him. Our position in relation to Srila Prabhupada and how we can actually improve that eternal relationship that we have with the spiritual master. Being eternally, you can see that it's the most important thing to have that relationship. So after reading this book, I realized that the house that Srila Prabhupada has built, which will never really be completed, we can make more expansions on it all the time, but it really shelters the whole world. There are recollections of devotees, women devotees from all over the world in that book, God sisters that I've never seen or heard, never knew existed, but really in every country they are. So you can see that house is a real shelter. It protects us from the onslaught of the material energy, which is an important thing. I think we're all feeling that onslaught more and more as Kali Yuga progresses. And it also it unshackles us from being slaves to our mind and senses, which is really a great relief after so many births and deaths. And also the spiritual master shares secrets of how to become unattached. And he also erases all the darkness that we're born into and that covers us more and more in this age of Kali. So the spiritual master has a very important and rigorous job to do. It's a very exalted position, and surely they don't get enough praise for that responsibility that they've taken up voluntarily. So we can see that when we actually get to hear this knowledge, I remember for the first time, I didn't really catch the Bhagavad Gita. There was too many long words in the first chapter. But I read a smaller book, and the philosophy just hit home. My intelligence was finally satisfied that here's someone that can really explain scientifically, spiritually, and even materially the difference between material and spiritual world and who we are. So this is a very satisfying feeling to finally get all your questions answered in the most sublime way. So we're going to read a verse that Krishna is speaking. Remember that these are Krishna's words. This is chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge. And it's a very famous verse, verse 34. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninas tatpadarshinaha. So this is the translation. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. And these are Srila Prabhupada's realized purports. The path of self-spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following the principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam says, Dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat panitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is a secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission, and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of this disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. So, this word submission is quite repeated many times in this verse. But this is an outline. This is clear. Krishna has clearly outlined, if you want to make spiritual advancement, you need a spiritual master. Right? And he explains why, and also how to be the proper disciple, how to hear and inquire submissively. So it's very important to realize that Krishna has arranged all this to help us. And he's put this verse in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita to make sure that we understand that you must hear from a line of people that are already self-realized. And then the transcendental knowledge that we've been hankering for, that we've been wanting, that the soul is thirsty for, will be realized to you. It will be given to you, and it will become relevant in your life, and it will perfect your life. So Krishna is explaining this, and it's all outlined for us, so it's a matter of really taking it in our hearts. And not only is he giving this information, but because he knows it's so important to have a proper representative here to give his message, he picks the best. He picks the greatest emissary that he can possibly do in his staff. And he did that with Srila Prabhupada. He chose Srila Prabhupada at the right time, the right moment, the right place to come and to deliver the message exactly how he wanted it. He was just using Srila Prabhupada. But he sent the perfect person to deliver us, to deliver the message purely, and to be able to explain it and give it to us where we could actually practice it. So therefore, the purification is guaranteed if we actually follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. There's different kinds of spiritual masters. There is the initiating spiritual master, the Diksha Guru. He actually implants within the aspiring disciple the mantra. The process for deliverance of the mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, implants that seed within you so that it actually can sprout and begin to purify you. And he also presents the knowledge in a way that we can receive it and imbibe it. It's something like, in India, you don't see so many around here, but in India there's a lot of stray dogs on the streets. They're in pretty bad shape. If they have a straight tail and a little bit of hair on them, they're doing pretty good. And if they have four legs, that's even better. But they're stray dogs, and they're not very happy. They're always barking, they're always upset. But if someone comes by and decides, oh, a little care and attention for the stray dog. You see it on Facebook a lot too, that people, they have these animal shelters and they go around and they find the stray dogs and they put a collar on them first of all, right? And then they give them love and attention. We were stray dogs, lost in this material world. And what do? He put Kunti Mala on us, right? And he said, now you're Krishna's dog. And we're so happy to have a master. The dogs on the street are glad to have a master. It's natural that they have a master. Same with us. It's natural that we have a spiritual master and then we become Krishna's wonderful, loving servant again. So this is the initiating spiritual master. And then there's the instructing spiritual master, which can be the same. But the instructing spiritual master, he actually engages you in the devotional service that will purify you. And it will also help you get rid of all the anarthas, all the things that are blocking your vision of Krishna and your path of reaching that ability to really serve and please him. So this is very important to have that combination. And then of course, Krishna is Chaitaguru, he's in your heart. He's so in tune. Can you imagine being in tune with every living entity in the world? He's in tune with everybody, knowing each one of our desires and what it takes to facilitate the purification and the linking again back to Krishna. So this is a wonderful opportunity we have, that we have the spiritual master here, the greatest representative of Krishna. We have Krishna in our heart, helping us right along, directing us. And therefore, the correspondence with Krishna happens again. We cut him off so long ago. We did it. He didn't do it. And we cut off that communication, but now it can be linked back together, and we can begin to realize what we've been missing, that we've been missing Krishna and that loving relationship with him. There's a song here. I think I left it. There's a song. Is there a songbook over there? Sitting on top of that, or it's on the where I was sitting over there. A red songbook, Vaishnava songbook. Might be my golf cart, which is right outside. Oh no, it's right here in front of me. I got it. I'm getting old. Okay. So this is a song. It's called Sri Guru Charana Kamala, and it talks about the mind. But it's talking about the mind in relationship to the bona fide spiritual master. And it's saying, O mind, just worship the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master. While the fallen soul wanders throughout the 14 worlds, it rarely gets an opportunity to receive a human birth. Aho! And out of so many human beings, only a few receive the great fortune of meeting the devotees of Lord Hari. O mind, just worship the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master. Sri Guru is a personification of the bliss inherent in Krishna's causeless mercy, and he is therefore the abode of mercy for souls who are suffering in the material world. He is a revealer of transcendental knowledge, pure devotion, and divine love. Sri Guru is a savior of fallen souls. So we don't want to miss that opportunity that we have of taking hold of these instructions that are given by the spiritual master. But as mentioned in this purport, there are actually people that think they don't need a spiritual master, that they can somehow or other sit down and from their abilities, they can figure it all out. They can figure out the absolute truth. They can go from ground zero to the very highest realization, either by some psychic moment or by some cheap pain for some kind of a mantra, or they think they can actually all of a sudden get, you know, some, what do you call it, when you receive some kind of a zap, and all of a sudden you'll understand the absolute truth. This is called the ascending process, the ascending process for the ass-like people that are so stubborn that they don't want to admit that they don't know anything spiritually and that they need to surrender. So these people that have been beamed up and have these realizations and try to cheat others are not going to really go anywhere as described in this verse. They're really not going to make any advancement. So one has to be honest and realize that it takes some work to understand the absolute truth. My father was actually a surgeon. He went to college for probably 9 years because he was a surgeon. And so you can imagine if someone professes to be a medical doctor, he says, I Googled it. I went on every single site and I did my homework. I read the books and I even went on YouTube and watched the operations. And I did my DIY. I got my certificate for experimenting on different things. And I ordered the best surgical instruments from Amazon. And now I'm ready to take patients. So, anybody? Taker? No way. Only somebody who wants to be cheated and ripped apart in pieces and not put back together probably very well, would fall for that. So in the same way, this purport is saying, don't go for it. You'll go nowhere. And you can't really fool Krishna either. So when one has seen the truth, then they will have the potency to actually shelter and change people's hearts. And it's stamped and approved. Prabhupada has been stamped approved as the representative of Krishna. So one should seek out some service that they can do for him. It's actually describing in this verse about submission and service. And so there's a very nice story that really relates this. It really shows it. And it's actually a story about Haridas Thakur and the prostitute. Because Haridas Thakur became very popular as and recognized as the acharya, the teacher of the holy name. And he became very popular, and many people were coming to him. But of course, there's people that are very envious of that, and so one Ramachandra Khan, he arranged for a person who was a prostitute, which was his occupation in those days, to go and try to break his chastity. And she went, and he knew what she was up to, because pure devotees are very clairvoyant. And she went there and said that she wanted to have his association. And he said, no, I've got all these rounds of chant. Sit down and listen. And so she was raised to respect saintly persons. And she recognized that this Haridas Thakur looks like a really saintly person. And so she didn't throw a fit and say no, 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 and have a tizzy about it and get angry. And she said, fine, I'll sit and I'll listen. And so this went on for hours and hours, and I think it happened for a couple nights. And then finally her heart changed because of the power of the pure devotee. And she submitted and said, I would like to surrender to you. What do I have to do? So already she had that submissive attitude. And now Haridas Thakur said some very heavy things to her. He told her some services to do, which would really go against the grain of any woman, really. First of all, shave your head. My gosh, everyone loves their hair, even though it's gray and whatever. Everyone's very attached to their hair. Even men these days, he said, Kali Yuga, they're very attached to their hair. So this was a hard one. He also said, get rid of all your possessions. Oh, but that sari, I really love that sari. That's my favorite. I wear it on Janmashtami. No way. Nope. All of it. Out the door. Give it away. Give it to other people. Heart-wrenching for someone who's very attached, especially bodily attached, a prostitute. And then he said, now you sit down. And you water Tulsi Devi. You become very humble. You become very simple. You just eat what you find. And you chant 300,000 names of God a day. So that is a lot of things that she's supposed to take. Not very easy instructions. Even Prabhupada found that he had to reduce, you know, from 64 to 32 to 16, no less, rounds to chant. But she was able to do it. Why? Because she had faith in the words of her spiritual master. And when you have that faith, then he can give you the strength, his strength, he can give into the disciple to be able to have the strength to follow the instructions. This is a very important thing that many people say, I don't want to become initiated, I don't want to take the vows because I'm not going to be able to follow them. Which might be respectful, okay, but that leaves you wide open. That leaves you very vulnerable. That you don't have a spiritual master because you don't think you can follow instructions. So this is like inviting Maya to come and entice you and everything. So that means that they don't have faith in that the spiritual master has that potency, that he is a representative of God and he can give you that strength to follow the vows the rest of your life. So it's very important to hear this message in this verse, that the spiritual master, it will give you that strength, just like Haridas Thakur did to the prostitute. Because he can see that this everyone is a disciple, is a servant of Krishna, and they can do it. They just need that help. And if you have faith in me, then I give you my strength. So this is very important. So we need a lot of the pluses that the spiritual master can give us. We need that extra strength. We need his grace. We sing every morning about the grace of the spiritual master, about the vision he can give us transcendentally. All the different things in the Guru Charana Prabhu prayers and the Guru Dev prayers, about all these attributes that he's willing and he's so compassionate that he will give us. So we should take them all. I mean, why not take them? We're spiritual infants. What do we know? What strength do we have on our own? None. So why not take it if it's available? So it's very important. And we can see the success of the devotees in the beginning. Talk about spiritual infants. We were like, we weren't even born yet, practically. And even when we grew up a little bit, we were crawling, you know, in the 70s, maybe waking up a little bit from our deep slumber of hippie life and everything else. He said, okay, you go to Germany and start a temple. You go to New Zealand. You go to China. I don't know the language. I don't have much money. I don't know anybody. When my husband started the temple in Dallas with Mohanananda, they were given a small little VW bug, you know, the little teeny cars, a box of incense, and a box of books. Go to Dallas, start a temple. Where did the strength come from? They just followed the instructions of the spiritual master and they went. And they were successful. So, so many incidences, especially in this book describing the success of receiving the greatest benefit from the spiritual master. So we should not hesitate to latch onto his lotus feet. There are three types of disciples. There's the first class, second class, and third class. The first class disciple is one who knows the heart and mission of the spiritual master, what pleases him. And he will just automatically see something needs to be done or something he could do to contribute, and he does it, even without the spiritual master asking. What a nice thing. You're sure that the spiritual master is so pleased. There's many stories of that. And then the second class disciple is one who, when asked, he submits and does it with a nice attitude. And then the third class devotee, maybe he'll do it, maybe he won't. So we have to, Prabhupada really wanted the first class devotees, and there's no reason why we can't all do that. There's a story about some very unqualified disciple, and quite an unqualified guru also. It's a famous little story, it's kind of cute, that there was a guru, and he had a disciple, and he asked the disciple to follow him. He was going to go on a horse, and he wanted the disciple to go behind him to make sure that if he needed anything, he was there. And he was going to some place, had a destination. So he got on the horse, and he's riding along, and they come to stop for some water or something like that, and the guru looks around on the horse and doesn't see his hat and said, "Where's my hat?" And the disciple goes, "Oh, it fell off down the road, way back there." "Why didn't you pick it up? It fell off." I mean, nonsense. Why didn't you pick it up? "Well, you didn't tell me to." "Oh, boy." He says, "Okay. Anything that falls off the horse, pick it up." "Okay, Jai Guru. So he gets back on the horse, goes along, and the horse passes stool. So he goes, "Everything I have to pick up." So he picks it up and is carrying along the stool, and the guru looks back and goes, You fool, what did he do? You said to pick up everything. Oh my God, he goes, I'll make you a list of all the things you should pick up. My hat, my tiffin, my umbrella, all these different things they have. Jai, thank you, thank you. So they're riding along, and the horse gets a little anxious and starts going a little bit fast and sees a branch, and horses do this. I know because I had a horse. They kind of go under it, and the person can't go under it, and the guru falls off. And the disciple just, and the horse goes on, and he just follows the horse. The guru wasn't on the list. So this is third class or less. So we don't want to do that. Prabhupada encourages us to use our intelligence, and he encourages us to please him in many different ways. And he was, sometimes he did refuse some kind of wild ideas that weren't practical. But in general, he was very happy with what we offered him. So we know what Srila Prabhupada's mission is. We know that he wants us to follow the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and spread this village to village. There's no question in our minds that we should be trying to fulfill this preaching mission and become very committed to help him in whatever way we can. There's many stories in the book from the women disciples about how they, when they met Srila Prabhupada, in the very, when they were very young devotee, that they may have still had some doubts, especially before they were initiated, but might have some doubts, and or they, just didn't quite, get the whole gist of the movement and everything. But when they saw Prabhupada, they completely changed the direction of their lives. Prabhupada was so important. It actually describes in one song that just the sight of the pure devotee is so purifying. It's like seeing Krishna. It's so wonderful. So there's many accounts of that in this book. And we see that we turned our whole life around in a different direction because we were receiving direction. Finally, we were getting some direction. Someone was pointing, go back to Godhead. This is how you do it. This is where you start. And then step by step, he was so kind to take us little baby steps, making sure that we didn't trip or fall or zoom past him and go off in a different direction. Very careful in his instructions and in his personal dealings with the devotees. Amazing, amazing what Prabhupada could do to make sure that we could be delivered to Krishna. And so the aspiring disciples could put their faith in the spiritual master because they could see that there was genuine purity and that he really cared. That he really cared to take the time out to make sure that he was a well-wisher of every person. And so this was definitely a trait that Prabhupada exhibited to everyone. Everyone can verify that. So he also made an offer that we couldn't resist. And he made this offer. He said, I'm actually going to allow you to open a bank account, a transcendental bank account, that everything you do is going to go and help you to reach your goal of reaching Krishna. And every bit of service that you do is going to count. And this is something that he arranged, that he would take whatever we did and directly give it to Krishna. Us not being really qualified to directly give it to him. He arranged, he was a financial advisor that would arrange that it would get delivered to Krishna. And he even offered to give interest, his own interest, of making sure that if we didn't get the whole thing done, he would make sure that whatever else, he would throw in the money to make, he would throw in the interest and blessings to make sure that we were delivered. So this was really a wonderful thing, and he also guaranteed that that if we just follow his instructions, that we would gradually increase and increase our account to reach that goal in this lifetime, which is amazing because we're so far. We start with zero in our account, minus zero, all of our past karma. But he erases that and gives us a blank start, and then he's guaranteeing us that we'll meet the goal. So this is something I think his spiritual master admitted that for every disciple he gave tons of blood. I forget how much he said.
Gallons
of blood for every disciple working with him and trying to help him. So you can think about that every once in a while of your spiritual master, how much he works and sweats for you and how much we owe him. Because he's giving us something that can't compare to any wealth or possessions that we've ever gotten. I can't think of anything that amounts to what Srila Prabhupada has given. So this is something that actually, even in the beginning when we see Srila Prabhupada, we heard his message in his books, it made a spiritual emotion arise in your heart, something that you may have never experienced before, especially if you weren't religious or you were sinful. But it was a true spark that convinced us that there must be a God. Because if this is his representative, I'm feeling this way towards him, this is just a little bit of what I'm going to experience on a higher level with my relationship to Krishna. So this must be a true thing, that just seeing Srila Prabhupada and being near him has given this emotion. So spiritual emotions only grow more fond and stronger as we serve Srila Prabhupada, because he's expecting us to keep putting in deposits into this transcendental bank account. The initiation is not the end of the deal. You have to keep putting in deposits every day, every moment of your life, actually, so that we hear, we chant, we preach constantly, we're absorbed, and that we're increasing our attachment to Krishna. And we do this until the very bittersweet end. So there's no end, really, to our service, because after we leave this body, the ends and the means are the same. Bhakti is going to be bhakti. Devotional service is going to be devotional service when we leave this body. We're doing it now, we're doing it then. So if you don't like it now, don't bother. If you don't like serving Krishna, then you don't need a spiritual master. You can just serve Maya. She gives out reward cards also. She has a credit card that she promises a lot of things that you're going to get later on. But guess what? You're going to have to come back a few more lifetimes to get it. And then she's going to cheat you anyway. So it's not a bona fide credit card. So don't fall for it. It's one of those scams. So realize that the training of the spiritual master is essential. That's all there is to it. If you don't get the training now, how are you going to act properly in the spiritual world? So those people that are thinking they're going to get away without being chastised by the spiritual master, by not learning submission and by not doing service, you're not going to be prepared. You're going to just get cheated. So we can't omit this verse. This is one of the most important verses. It's a must, and Krishna is emphasizing it. So there was one incident where someone said, well, I can do it some other way. I don't really need ISKCON. I don't need, you know, all this. And Prabhupada said, this is the greatest, this is the grand illusion. You do need it. We all need it. And so we have to renew our faith every once in a while. It's very healthy to do that. Go in front of the spiritual master. And grand illusion. I think he was in Hawaii when he said that. And so this is something that we should do. We should renew our faith. And like, you know, Draupadi did, throw up your hands every once in a while, say, today I'm yours. Krishna, take me. Prabhupada, take me. My spiritual master, please take me. And whatever you like me to do, I will. And that submissiveness is what will allow him to enter that knowledge and that revelation so that you will begin to become purified and realize really who we are, that we're the servant of the servant of the servant. And that will make you very happy. It will really, really make you happy. And Prabhupada knew that. That's why he wanted to make this house. And there's, and he did open up this bank account, but he has franchises all over the world, so anyone can hook in. So wherever you go, wherever you preach, tell people about this wonderful deal. And so there's another prayer to the mind about the lotus feet of spiritual master. We say every morning that at least 3 times a day we should offer our respectful obeisance to the spiritual master. But this is saying a little bit different. It says, O mind, just worship the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master. Without receiving the mercy of the pure devotee, one will not have the potency to execute regular spiritual practices. Therefore, O my dear mind, I urge you to worship him. Please worship him at every moment. So this is, he becomes our life and soul. His instructions and his service, that's all that is left to life, really. No matter what kind of service we do, we offer to him, he offers it to Krishna. And then our guarantee is there to make some advancement in this lifetime. And hopefully serve Prabhupada again eternally. So these are some thoughts about the spiritual master and the importance of the spiritual master. And if there's any questions or... Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you for the great class. So Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya and Lord Chaitanya, they all took sannyas initiation from impersonal gurus. How is that possible?
Lord Chaitanya did for different reasons, but they were all Vaishnavs. At the end of the life, they said, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, just worship Krishna. For different reasons, they took on different faces, and they were still trying to get rid of the Buddhist things like that. And Lord Chaitanya, what was the reason for him? For imprisoning, for taking from Bharat Maharaj? Yeah, what was the reason?
He wanted two things. One was that he wanted to deliver Sarvam Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur, so many Mayavadi, they got attraction.
Okay, so when they...
Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur got attraction because he got Mayavadi.
Okay, let me say that. So, yeah, so he attracted many Mayavadis by converting the Mayavadi impersonalists of Sarvabhauma and Prakasananda. And the other reason?
Keshambharat is also, actually, he did not take initiation from him. If you look at the story in Chaitanya Chaitanya, he said, in my dream, you came and gave me this mantra. Is that the mantra you want me to chant? So actually, Lord Chaitanya initiated him, and then he repeated that mantra.
That's right. Okay. So, that's
but
right.
He's also Sandipani Muni.
Okay.
And then Ramanujacharya, when he was massaging his spiritual master, he was telling him how Krishna's eyes were pinkish color. But the word that he used could also, his spiritual master took it as the bum of the monkey, which was also pink. And Ramanujacharya got so angry, so mad, that really hot tears were falling on his spiritual master's back. So how could Ramanujacharya accept a spiritual master that can blaspheme Krishna like that?
It was a pastime.
No, that's not his. That's a school teacher.
Wasn't his guru.
When he was a little boy, his name was Lakshman. He used to go to that school. The school teacher is Yadav Prakash. But Ramanujacharya's guru is different. He has a 5 gurus. Not this one.
And actually, I heard that, I think it was Madhvacharya, actually, they had deities of Krishna and everything. They were actually worshipping Krishna, but would speak otherwise to help bring people closer.
Also, Madhvacharya actually,
And then my other question, Durga Devi is the representation of Maya. She's also an expansion of Krishna. Does she have spiritual knowledge? Does she also know?
She's the backside of Krishna. She's a servant. She does a good job, doesn't she? She's a really good servant.
Does she only know Maya, or does she know transcendental knowledge too?
Sure, she knows transcendental knowledge. But her job is to do the opposite. So, anyway, she has a nasty job. But she, expert servant, 99.9% of the population, she's got under her grip. So we're very lucky. It's very rare that we can meet a spiritual master. So we'd be ridiculous not to surrender in this lifetime. We don't have much time left.
And even though Prabhupada is not physically present here with us, how can we still connect with him as a spiritual master for those of us that never...
He said through my books and through his instructions. So, have you read them all?
Getting there,
yeah.
Could I consider Prabhupada my spiritual master?
He can be your... He is the acharya of the Krishna consciousness movement. But he recommends, he's empowering other devotees to accept disciples, to have a personal guru. But they're working for Prabhupada. So, but it's important to have a living guru and to learn, to be trained in submission, just like I've been explaining, and to get trained up. It's really important. It's a shame that we don't have more training programs to have that experience of people telling you what to do and having to surrender. It's not easy. But you learn it, and it makes your life sublime. And then gradually, as Krishna raises the bar, you can surrender more and more and more. But you need to practice, just like the person jumping over has to practice. So you have to have that training. So a spiritual master, a living spiritual master, can help guide you in that way.
What happens to someone who is curious or engages in devotional service but ends up leaving his body before having a spiritual master or initiation? Is everything lost?
That may be why you're sitting here.
I understand.
You didn't quite finish. So, don't be foolish. Need to finish it up in this lifetime. Why stick around? It's getting worse and worse all the time. Just open your computer.
I have a question.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Anybody like some grapes? Grape prasadam here. It's been on the altar for I don't know how all week. They're probably really sweet.
Oh, that's nice. Just curious, what transformation the Lokahira or the prostitute got? Is it something that the soul had all along awakened, or actually Haridas Thakur infused her with what? I'm just curious.
She got purified.
What does that mean?
The mantra means that she was able to actually remove the darkness and to understand that she needed to surrender. So this is how we all came somehow or other. It just turns, you know, it's the light goes on, and you realize, now I need to do something. So just hearing the mantra, and because he was a pure devotee, it really affected her. So it was through purification she had that revelation. So I don't know much more than that. I wasn't there, but it happened really quickly. I mean, can
I was just curious, because she comes from a really like a deep dark queen of the prostitution to transform to the Bhagavad pure devotees, like a big...
The philosophy was around, though, you know, it wasn't, you know, people, it was a Vedic culture at that time, so just like even the demons knew the philosophy, you know, so it wasn't a completely new thing for her, so she was just able to realize that she was in the wrong wrong association. So she had the strength now to step away. Just like we did. We had the strength to call up our parents and say, guess what? You know? And, yeah. So we're thankful for that. Okay, there's some grape prasadam here that's been on. It's maha prasadam. It's great grapes. If anybody wants, they're welcome to come take. Jai Gaur Shiva Prabhupada.